And good morning. And welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann, the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here. And it is my pleasure to welcome you and to just let you know that we are a spiritual community that is about our name, spiritual living. Because we believe spiritual truth and spiritual living can uplift our lives and the lives of those we interact with, can even uplift our world. So that is what we are about, and that is what we stand on and teach. The Kiss by Gustav Klimt, an Austrian artist. One of the most recognizable and famous paintings in the world. Oil on canvas with gold leaf, silver, and platinum. Klimt created this piece, his masterpiece, at a time in his life when he was experiencing quite a bit of personal and professional hardship. Paralleled by a great deal of civil and political unrest in his nation in the years leading up to World War I. At the time of this magnificent pieces unveiling in 1908. This and the artist Klimt received a great deal of criticism. Many considered it obscene because of its subject matter, and many considered it sacrilegious because Klimt dared to use gold, a precious material that up to that time had been reserved only for religious art. But what if Klimt wanted to, or even needed to, remind himself and society that despite appearances, this is the truth? That despite what might be going on in our lives, beauty and tenderness and love are real. They are so real that they are the truth of our being. And truth is worth more than platinum and silver and even gold, because truth, the truth of our being, is noble. Thank you, Bo. We hear a lot about truth these days. Lots of arguing about what is and isn't true. Real news, fake news, true information, misinformation, disinformation. It's all over social media, all over our news. And the good news today is I'm not talking about any of that. So let's just set your concern about that aside. I'm talking about the high truth, the kind of truth that is so noble it led Meister Eckhart to say, truth is something so noble that if God could turn aside from it, I could keep the truth and let God go. And therefore, let us pray to God that we may be free of God, that we may gain the truth and enjoy it eternally. Let go of God. Kind of radical for a Catholic priest to say that, don't you think? But he gives us a little clue. He says, if God could turn aside from it. Well, of course, that's impossible, because God is truth and truth is God. So what is this great teacher talking about when he says, truth is so noble that if God could turn aside from it, I could let it, God go and keep the truth? Well, when he says let God go, he means let go of our conception about God. Let go of what we think about when we say the word God. Because there's a difference between what we think about when we use that word God and what it really is, which is most probably beyond whatever we might be thinking about it. And when he encourages us to let go God and keep the truth, he's saying, to the extent your concept of God stands in the way of getting that truth, you can let it go. Because it's truth that matters the most. It's truth that lifts up and infuses our lives and gives us strength. And the word God comes with a lot of baggage, right? A lot of baggage. That word has been used to beat us up. It has been used to judge us. It had been used to put us down. And none of that is the truth about God. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, uses so many different words for what we sometimes call God in his seminal work, The Science of Mind, that if I listed all of them, it would take more than the 20 minutes I have for this talk. But I think it's because he knew that there's so much baggage around that word that he wanted to free us from any concept that might come up in our mind when we use that word so we could focus on getting at the truth. Which is why you hear around here so often words that mean God, but we don't use that word. I use it a lot, but a lot of people around here don't. Spirit. Life, universal principle, the thing itself. Really, use whatever word you want that helps you release your concept of God and get at the truth. Because as it says in the Bible, it's the truth that will set you free. It does not say God will set you free or Jesus Christ will set you free. We don't say the Buddha will set you free or Krishna will set you free. It is the truth that sets you free. And more on that in late June when we get closer to our independence holidays, okay? But so the truth I'm talking about today are those truths that we keep coming back to again and again and again because they are so noble. Oneness. There is no separation between God and its creation. We, all of us, every human is made in its image, has its triune nature of mind, body, and soul. God, or the thing itself, life, is both immanent and transcendent. It's immanent because it is in and as its creation, and it's transcendent because it is greater than. It is greater than its creation. It is greater than our perception of it. It is greater than anything that ever has been, anything we could possibly think about it. It is greater than in the sense that it is infinite potentiality. Another noble truth. There is a power in the universe and we can use it. Because we get to participate in that infinite potentiality. Noble truth, we are its beloved, and we are never outside its love. And then there's the noble truth about each and every one of us as individual expressions of the One. Each and every person knows what makes them unique. I know who I am. I am unique. Each person knows the truth of their being, of their core. This is all noble truth. And this is the kind of truth that is bedrock. This is the kind of truth that is unmoving, unchanging. It's the kind of truth we can lean on. We can trust it. We can build our lives on it because it is bedrock. No, even as our concept of God changes, the truth does not change. Even as our relationship with God changes, the truth does not change. And when we know this kind of truth, it becomes the ground of our being, or it grounds us in our being. Or as my friend, Reverend Michael Lattimore, the senior minister at Ohio CSL, likes to say, I am so grounded, I cannot be shocked. Now, please, if you're a scientist, don't tell me if that doesn't make any sense electrically, okay? Because I like it the way it is. I am so grounded, I cannot be shocked. That's the nobility of truth. It helps us know that no matter what's going on in the world, or no matter what's going on within us, no matter how hard we are on ourselves, no matter what we try to do to ourselves, truth is still true. The who and what we are is still true. Right? We are still one with the one. There's still power in the universe we can use. I am still loved. I'm still who I am. And I still have access to that infinite potential in the one mind. No matter what's going on, truth is still there for us. And no matter what's going on in the world, or no matter what others might try to do to us, this truth is there for us. It grounds us. This is the kind of truth that lets us stand in the midst of the blows that others would try to hurl at us, and we can say, you can't touch this. I know who I am. I had an experience of this several years ago when the opposing attorney on one of my cases filed a motion for sanctions against me with several ethical accusations. When that motion came through my email and I opened it up and read it, boy, did it send me spinning. Like, how can she say this? It's not true. None of this is true. That part I know. That's the one part of my truth I could remember right away. None of these accusations are true. But boy, did it still send me spinning. Like, why is she doing this? What's behind all this? What if the judge believes her? What if I am sanctioned? What if I am suspended? What if I am disbarred? I could lose my living. What is going to happen to me? Well, after a few days of spinning like this and not getting much work accomplished, I was sitting at my desk one afternoon. It was a gorgeous afternoon. I said, enough already. I need some bicycle therapy. So I left a whole lot of unfinished work on my desk. I get on my bike, and as you've heard me say before, I do a lot of therapy on my bicycle, and I usually do it out loud. So I'm talking to myself out loud as I'm riding my bike. Well, what am I really afraid of? What's going on here? And then I do this thing that I do sometimes, like, well, what if the judge believes her? Okay, I might lose my license. Well, if I lose my license, I can't be a lawyer anymore. Okay, so then what am I going to do? And I had this realization, you know what? I'm okay. I'm still intelligent. I'm still able. I'm still supported by the universe. Even if all this is believed by the judge, I'm okay. But then it went even deeper. It went even a little deeper into the truth. And I found myself with no conscious decision to do this. I started kind of just thumping my chest as I'm riding along, going, they can't touch this. They can't touch this. They can't touch this. They can't touch my honesty, my integrity. They can't touch my compassion or my heart. They can't touch who I am, no matter what happens. And boy, did that bring a sense of peace. Such that many days later, when I actually went to that hearing, we conducted the actual hearing, which was the subject matter of the case and had to do with our clients. And then after that was finished, the opposing counsel said, Your Honor, what about my motion for sanctions against Ms. McCann? And the judge says, Oh, there's no merit. Motion dismissed. I was vindicated. But here's the thing. My true vindication came several days earlier when I remembered the truth of who I am and that they cannot touch this. That is the nobility of truth when we accept it as the ground of our being. There are some people and some religious traditions that have a lot to say about worshiping God and praising God. And you might notice we don't use those words a whole lot around here. We're all for worshiping or praising God in the sense of profound gratitude for its love and givingness, because this is what lifts our consciousness to the good life, and it's the consciousness of truth, right? So that's what we're about here. But as far as praising or worshiping or needing to please some entity that goes by the name God, we're a little different, right? We do absolutely believe in God, and that it is the great I am, yes, but we place a little more emphasis on truth. In fact, the Science of Mind textbook, in its very first page, Ernest Holmes wrote this: these lessons are dedicated to that truth which frees man from himself and sets him on the pathway of a new experience, which enables him to see through the mist to the eternal and changeless reality. It's the truth that we're after and dedicated to, because it's the truth that powers our lives. It's the truth that gives us that ability to create the life we want. And when speaking to or writing about this ability to create our lives, he goes on to say this: how then are we to accomplish the desired result? By stating and feeling that our mind knows the truth about the thing we desire to know. In this way, we draw the infinite mind into our mentalities for definite knowledge of some particular good. Which means it is truth that powers our prayers. Again, many people and many religious traditions are about praying to God to change our lives. Please, God. It's like asking for a favor or begging or even making deals. Like, God, if you do this for me, I promise I'll go to church every Sunday. That might be a good one. Or please, God, if you do this for me, I'll never smoke again, drink again, I'll never swear. It goes on and on, right? Jesus never prayed like this. Jesus never begged God for anything. He never made any deals. He simply declared the truth. He said, dude, there's nothing wrong with you. Just get up and walk already. Right? Just declaring the truth. And we might think of that as praying from God or praying from consciousness of truth about the thing or situation prayed for. And every step of the affirmative prayer that we teach around here is about declaring truth. Step one, recognition. God is. Step two, I am part of it. Step three, accepting our good, is about claiming and knowing the truth about the thing prayed for, the truth of health and wholeness and peace, the truth of love and prosperity and self-expression, the truth of guidance and wisdom in the midst of difficult situations. Step four, gratitude. Gratitude for the truth of that thing already manifested. And step five, release, releasing our prayer to the truth of the law of cause and effect and having faith that it is done. All of this is the nobility of truth. Truth so noble that it powers our prayers. So noble that it is the ground of our being, and so noble that we can release our concept of God and keep the truth. All right, in the name of truth, let's pray. I invite our practitioners and ministers to stand and lend their consciousness of truth to this prayer with us. Truth, God is the only thing that ever has been, is now, or ever will be, and it is greater than that. Truth, I and every person within the sound of my voice is in and of the One. Truth, it is the ground of our being. Bedrock, unchanging, powering our lives and our prayers. This prayer, truth, that there is a law in the universe, a power in the universe that I use right here in this moment, knowing that this prayer is already done because it is the truth of our being. And truth, I can release this with faith because it is done. And I'm grateful for noble truth. And so it is.